Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Generally, as I opened up the show, I would tell you everything that's going to be coming up and give you a few initial thoughts. But we're actually going to open up the show today with a guest. We've been talking a little bit about the Blues over the last hour or so during the Rush Hour Sports Hour. Not a great performance as they lose to the Kings yesterday in overtime. Still very early on in the season. But we're going to open up the show just by jumping in, talking a little Blues hockey and the NHL in general. Happy to welcome on to the program. He is Jeff Merrick. Does a lot of things, including a daily program as part of the Daily Faceoff platform, and he joins us right now. Jeff, thanks so much for taking some time, and welcome on to Sports Open Line.
Pleasure is mine, Matt. How are you today? I can't figure out. You're right there. Maybe you can explain this to me. Who are the St. Louis Blues?
That's why I had you on.
I got a lot of questions. Is it the team that we saw against Dallas? Is it the team we saw against L.A.? Which one is it?
Yeah, so this is a weird thing with this team, and it goes beyond Jim Montgomery. It goes beyond the last two. There's been no team, and you follow the league across the board more than I do. So there's no team that more consistently gives great efforts against great teams and follows it up with subpar efforts against not-so-great teams. And it's been going on for a while, and I don't understand why.
You need guys with the killer instinct. I mean, I thought you nailed it off the top. It's still early. Like every conversation right now about the NHL has to be prefaced with it's still early, and it's still too early to notice trends. You know, kind of give it till Thanksgiving, and then we'll start to notice a few more things. But the thing right now, whenever I watch the St. Louis Blues, is who's going to drag them into the fight, right? Like who's dragging them in? And right now, you know, Jake Neighbors is dragging him in. I'm seeing Braden Schenn drag him in. Definitely I'm seeing Tyler Tucker leave everything out there. Nathan Walker at times as well. But you just want other guys that can drag everybody on the team into the fight. Now, it's tough when both your goaltenders are sub 900 save percentage goalies. That's going to change no matter what you do. If you have goaltenders that are in the 800s, you're not going to do much as a squad. But as I look at St. Louis right now, like, you'll put together one good period, maybe two, but I'm still waiting to see this team consistently put together three solid periods and guys distinguishing themselves as guys that'll drag the rest of the squad into a fight. Haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, you know, today in practice, they shuffled the lines again. This is already the third or fourth time that they've shuffled lines this year. And the top line is going to have Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou in addition to Pavel Buchnevich. Jeff, it feels like they do this a lot where they put Thomas and Kyrou together and then it just doesn't work and they go away from it. And you talk about teams, you know, who's going to drag the team in. You would love it for it to be Thomas and Kyrou, but so far, as talented as those guys are, you don't feel like those are the guys leading the way in that area.
Yeah, I see. I tend not to worry about Robert Thomas too much just because of the body of work that we've seen before from Robert Thomas. So if he has a slow start, I kind of shrug it off. You know, I know the player that he is and know that he's a legit number one center in the NHL. The Kyrou story is a little bit different, right? Like, we all know about the speed. We all know about how dynamic he is with his feet. You know, red line to red line, he's an outstanding hockey player. The challenge is get that little round black thing over the red line. But sometimes they try to make it fit and it doesn't work and they go away. And then it's almost that, you know, that safety and security blanket of putting those two together. So far it hasn't clicked, but as much as I don't worry about Robert Thomas, because I know what you're getting there, I still, like, I'm with, you know, some of the St. Louis hockey observers here. I still do have some curious questions. How about that? About Jordan Kyrou, yeah. on the first line.
A lot of people got really excited in that Dallas game because that was one of Kyrou's best two-way games that we've ever seen him play. He scored a goal, had a number of good defensive plays, and you just want to see more of that from Kyrou, but you haven't seen it in a game-in, game-out basis yet.
It's the story of the St. Louis Blues, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, last year it was like good vibes, good goaltending, everybody playing as a unit, and that was awesome, and the team makes the playoffs. Where many hockey observers and hockey fans at the beginning of last season didn't have them in the postseason. The story for the St. Louis Blues so far this season has been inconsistency. You're right, inconsistency of player, inconsistency of team. Like, I go up and down the lineup, and listen, bless Jake Neighbors, but I can't find one guy that I can look at and say he's turned in a performance that we expect from this player consistently all season long, even though I know we're, what, seven games into it. I'm just not seeing it, and I don't think I'm in the minority there. It's kind of a team that's just, you're waiting for something to happen, right? Like, I'm waiting for something to pop here with the St. Louis Blues. You know, sometimes it takes one of those, like, crazy games where there's, like, candy in the penalty box and everybody follows it, and the team sort of pops as a squad, and it takes them on a big winning streak. Sometimes it takes something like hockey dumb like that to happen. Whatever it is, we're still waiting for it to happen with the St. Louis Blues. And usually what dovetails with that is an identity that you build on for the remainder of the season. Haven't seen that yet. You can really see the frustration and hear the frustration with Jim Montgomery. He knows what he has and he knows the potential. We're just not seeing it yet from the Blues.
Is there anything yet across the NHL that you've taken note of that feels real? I mean, Penguins have gone off to us kind of a surprising start. The Panthers and the Lightning have not played as well as you might expect. We already saw the Islanders fire their goalie coach trying to get... Yeah. All these storylines are interesting, but I don't know how many of them are actually, like, really impactful and long-lasting.
Vegas is really good.
Okay.
And Vegas is going to be good all season. I think that's legit. I don't think that's fool's gold. You know, I don't think the Detroit Red Wings are going to be the class of the Atlantic Division, but it's fun to watch. The Montreal Canadiens, I'll tell you, the Montreal Canadiens have been and have become must-watch television. Now, they're young, but it's a really exciting, fun team to watch. You mentioned the goaltending situation or the goalie coach situation with the New York Islanders. That's more of a nod to Ilya Sorokin bringing in his summer goalie coach to try to help him get back to the standard that he's been in his career previous. To me, Vegas is a major story here. The Carolina Hurricanes, I think we all wonder about, is there enough there now that they can, you know, not just be the team that gets to the Eastern Conference Final and then flames out. They brought in Keandre Miller from the New York Rangers. He's been fantastic for them. Nikolai Ehlers comes in from the Winnipeg Jets. Logan Stankoven now playing second-line center, so they're still looking to do some business and bring in a second-line center, but they just finally dropped their first game of the season earlier this week. I think that's, again, a legitimate team. But still, like, there are some squads that we look at and say, okay, we're ready for you to take your next step. I wonder about the Anaheim Ducks. Could that be the surprise team in the West that is right there on the verge? And Pat Verbeek, their general manager, made a lot of big offseason moves, again, to move things forward and push that team to the next level. And then there's Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. You know, two Stanley Cup final appearances in a row for Edmonton. Speculation is they still have the horses to get there. They've had a slow start, but let's not forget they've played all the way to the Stanley Cup final, just like the Florida Panthers. The only problem is they haven't come away with the big cup.
Very few people out there, if anybody covers the league better than Jeff Merrick. Jeff, give a plug for the programs you do with Daily Faceoff, because I know awesome. People would love to see it.
Yeah, thanks. So the main one for me is a program called The Sheet. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch it on our Daily Faceoff YouTube channel, 1 to 2 Eastern, Monday to Friday. NHL guests, NHL rumors, NHL stories, NHL news. We wrap it all up inside of 1 hour.
Awesome. Very good. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully we can chat again down the line.
Matt, you call anytime, pal.
Awesome. Thanks so much. That's Jeff Merrick joining us on the program. Got some messages on the text line and on the video chat liking what Jeff was saying. Yeah, he's a great hockey guest. Love being able to talk with him. And I really mean it. There's very few people out there who are in touch with the entire league the way Jeff is. So great to be able to talk with him. Also great to be able to talk with Bernie Miklas. He's going to join us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it, it's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We take you until 8 o'clock this evening. Very happy to welcome onto the program, courtesy of Saliga Heating and Cooling. It is our good friend Bernie Miklas. You read him and you watch him over at STL Sports Central. And, of course, he's absolutely everywhere on KMOX Sports on a Sunday morning. Chris and Amy, Dave Glover, Rush Hour Sports. He's on with us on Mondays and Fridays. And on Wednesdays, we get to talk to him here on Sports Open Line. Hey, Bernie.
I'm always delighted to be with you, Matt Pauly. How you doing tonight?
I am good. It's good to be able to talk to you. I enjoyed your video today, and Kevin and I talked a lot about this during Rush Hour Sports because it all started with something that the Jim Montgomery had said yesterday about injuries. How you have a groin injury, and the next thing you might know, you might have a sports hernia. You got an arm issue. Next thing you might know, you got a shoulder. And we see that happen with specifically Brendan Donovan, where one thing led to another. And you talked about today how that can impact trade values and things like that. I found it interesting that we continue to talk about this with the Cardinals, where them not sitting guys down is having, unfortunately, a residual effect all the way here into the offseason.
And I think people need to understand what we're talking about, and you and I and Kevin are on the same page here. We admire people. We admire athletes who try to play hurt, you know, play with pain. You know, they don't feel good. Something's really sore. Much respect to those guys, but that's not what we're talking about here. There is a huge difference between playing hurt and playing injured. Playing injured in a way where, number one, it clearly has an adverse effect on your performance. And number two, by continuing to play on something that is injured, you also have a much greater risk of making it worse or incurring another injury that's related. And that's exactly what happened to Brendan Donovan. And I was raising Cain about this all last summer. I didn't understand what the point was when they could have shut him down early in June to let that toe heal and then it's behind him. But instead, it kept running him out there every day. And I understand that he's a great competitor, a great teammate. He wants to play. Kept running him out there, running him out there, running him out there. Okay, then all of a sudden there's a groin injury. Okay, well, still kept running him out there and finally shut him down and he missed a month. But his season was never the same, although his overall numbers were fine. But for about 2.5 months, he really didn't hit. And then, okay, so you have the toe injury that leads to the groin injury, which Brendan Donovan acknowledged. And then that leads to hernia surgery. Tell me how that was smart.
I remember standing there in the scrum in the Cardinals clubhouse the day Brendan Donovan talked about how the finger thing turned, or the toe thing, I should say, turned into the groin thing. And it's like, okay, these guys know this. And then again, that audio yesterday with Jim Montgomery going through what a lot of people know, it's just, I respect guys who want to play through it. And you mentioned the whole, you know, injury versus, I think anybody who played high school football probably have a version of the, you know, coaches, are you hurt or are you injured? Like, it's something that is pushed into us very early on, yet at the highest level, sometimes it almost gets forgotten about.
That's right. And see, there's a lot at stake here. Now, that said, it's not like Brendan Donovan's obligation to say, well, they might want to trade me this offseason, so I better, you know, take it really easy. And, you know, I don't want to do anything to hurt the Cardinals. He's not going to think that. No one should ask him to think that. But that said, you know, Chaim Bloom goes in his first offseason, and I know that there's a lot he wants to get done. Now he's got Lars Nootbaar with the double heel surgery, and his trade value, I have to imagine, was already down because of the constant injuries. Now you add two surgeries on his heels to it, and no one seems to know for sure what his recovery time will be. I don't think it'll be quite as bad as some are making it out, but the point is, he was a guy we all viewed as a really good trade candidate who had some value because other teams have been asking for him. Well, what's his trade value going to be now? And with Donovan, I think Donovan is their biggest chip to play, and I think there's a lot of interest in him, but he had the elbow surgery. He, you know, battled through injuries this year. He'll be 29. He plays so hard that he beats himself up. So I wonder whether his teams will look at him differently now. It's like, well, wait a minute. Is he kind of damaged goods? Is he heading to that phase of his career where maybe he starts to decline a little early? I'm just saying, it's not a good thing to be going in the offseason. Two guys you were perhaps looking to trade, or at least going to explore. We don't know how much interest there is. And I, you know, with Donovan, there will be interest, but will there be as much as we would have anticipated? I don't know.
I preface this with, I want to see the Cardinals bring as much talent in the organization as possible. But Bernie, maybe I'm just a little bit jaded here. I don't know. I'm at a point right now where I almost care less about what the return is versus me wanting to see guys on the team who are part of like the long-term plan. So if Lars Nootbaar right. is not part of the long-term plan, well, you can get something for him. I'm not talking about non-tendering the guy, but you right. if you trade him for a lottery ticket, that I'm not going to be upset about that. Now, if they still continue to view Nootbaar as a guy who they can have on this team long-term, okay, that's fine. But I'm just, right now where I'm at with this team, I'm less worried about the return, and I'm more worried about this team becoming the closest version of what they're going to eventually become, if that makes sense.
No, I'm with you 100%. Totally with you on that. And look, Brendan Donovan's a good player, and he's a popular player, and he's probably the closest thing the Cardinals have to a star. And he was an all-star. And I understand the sentiment of fans who say, you know, he's a really good player. Why would they trade him? Well, because by every indication is they have no intention in signing him to a long-term contract extension because he's going to be 29 years old, and you don't do that. And if you're not going to sign him to a long-term contract extension, and he has 2 years before he becomes a free agent, and those 2 years of service before he become a free agent, that's really valuable for teams that are interested in him. So, well, we can have him for 2 years. It's not like he's going to walk away after 1 year. So if you're not going to keep him and you're in a rebuild mode, which they are, and you got a 29-year-old guy, it just makes no sense whatsoever to let him walk in a couple years and maybe you get a draft pick. It just doesn't make any sense.
That second year of control, I remember this, it's not completely an apples to apples, but I remember when Tommy Edman had signed that contract extension with the Cardinals. He got 2 years. And I was sitting, I think, in the sports office with Kevin Wheeler, and I looked at him and said, he's going to get traded. They just gave him a second year. That makes him more valuable as a trade asset. Like, the moment I saw 2 years for Edman, I knew he was going to get traded. I think sometimes we discount just the value that other teams look at guys when they get that second year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal, man. It's tough to trade for a walk-year player. I mean, I know that some teams are totally fine trading for a guy that's got the full season. rather than, say, getting him at the deadline. He's a walk-year player, so he still has value. But, man, but you know you're going to have him in your lineup for two seasons rather than one or a half a season. That obviously makes the player more valuable as a trade piece.
We're talking with Bernie Miklas. Tony Vitello today named the manager of the San Francisco Giants a DeSmet kid, a Mizzou kid, a first ever college baseball coach with no professional experience. Coming in, when I say professional baseball, not that he's not professional, what he does. It's a big swing by Buster Posey and the Giants, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Listen, I love this, and I'm not saying it's just because he's from St. Louis, right? I just love this because, you know, Buster Posey, who was a really kind of old school player when he's catching for the Giants, I think it's wild that this is what he wants to do. And I think it's awesome because I think we ought to see this more often, because Major League Baseball players are getting younger and younger and younger, and they're coming to the majors sooner. You know, this whole thing where you have a really talented player, but he's got to marinate in the minors for 4 or 5 years. I think that stuff's gone. Some players need to do that, but the guys who have the talent, we're seeing teams just get to the major leagues in a much shorter time now. So I think we're going to see that trend continue, and I think we're going to see younger and younger players, maybe teams that become a lot younger because of being more open about bringing guys up to the major leagues, you know, at age 21, 22, whatever. See, I think a guy like Vitello is perfect for that. Like that people say, well, this is really risky. Well, I don't know if it is. I mean, every managing hires a risk. Maybe there's more to this because it's never been done before, straight from college to Major League Baseball. But I think it kind of fits the changing times in Major League Baseball. I also think they'll be smart enough to have a good coaching staff around him. And listen, the people that are saying, well, boy, you know, at Tennessee, he was feisty. He was overly aggressive. He was flamboyant. He was this, he was that. Listen, he's got a lot of personality, but he's also an extremely smart football guy. And does anybody think he's going to go into Major League clubhouse and, you know, just like this constant rah, rah, rah stuff, or like, you know, throw equipment around if they lose? No, he's not an idiot. He'll adjust. But, you know, one other thing about it real quick. I've always loved the San Francisco baseball crowds. I think it's a great, great atmosphere for baseball. It's an eccentric franchise. It's a colorful franchise. It's a little crazy in a good way. And I think he's an ideal fit. This is the ideal place for this type of experiment, if you want to call it. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, it is. And it's, again, I think anytime somebody does something outside of the box, it's fun to see if it's going to work or not. The analogy isn't spot on because Pat Murphy, when he got done with college baseball, was a minor league manager, a major league bench coach, and then a major league manager. So he obviously had a lot of experience. But who Pat Murphy is as a baseball guy, Bernie, is based off who he came up as the college coach at Notre Dame and at Arizona, even though it's not exactly the same, and Murph obviously had a lot more experience in professional baseball. I do wonder, do teams look at the Milwaukee Brewers and look at Pat Murphy and say, there's kind of a college guy who's doing this, maybe that skill set can work at the major league level?
Well, absolutely. And you know, in Vitello's case, I mean, he's a great baseball man. He's a great baseball coach. And, you know, it's not like he's some crazy man who, you know, well, why are they hiring this flaky guy and all this other stuff? Well, Max Scherzer loves him. Max Scherzer would be the first guy to go to every team and say, hire this guy. He's brilliant. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this turns out. But this is one outstanding leader, one outstanding manager. And I think, what do we talk about with a lot of baseball teams? They don't have an identity. I'm not sure what their identity is, right? With him, whatever team he's managing, and now it's the Giants, they will absolutely have an identity. He'll instill that in them. And I think Buster Posey got sick of watching, you know, Bob Melvin just standing there like without emotion, and, you know, for 2 years and just, you know, kind of like, well, what's the point of this? Everybody's dead down there. You know, I love this. It'll be a spectacular success, or of course, maybe a spectacular failure, but it's worth trying.
Last thing for you very quickly, whether it was Craig Berube post Stanley Cup, Drew Bannister, or Jim Montgomery, very consistently during the last few years of Blues hockey, when they go have a fantastic performance against a really good team and then have a bad team coming in, they follow that up with a subpar effort. They do it again last night. Bernie Miklas, why?
I'm really disappointed. Listen, I'm one of these things. It's a long season. Let's all calm down. But I don't understand the wild fluctuations. I don't understand how you at home, where you've already not played well, and you know, I think you owe your fans better effort. How can you have 8 shots on goal in the first 2 periods? How does that even happen? You know?
Yeah.
That's a team that's not working hard enough. And something's got to change. You know, Jim Montgomery has shown time and time again, he's an excellent motivator. He knows how to get a team ready. It's not just what he did here in St. Louis. You know, it's what he did with Boston when he went in there the first year. It's what he did in Dallas when he got that job. I mean, he makes teams better. He's one of the winningest coaches in terms of winning percentage in the history of the league. What is it about this team that just, you know, they were apparently effort's optional now or something like that? I don't know. Very disappointing, but yeah, long, long way to go. I'm sure they'll get it straightened out, but I'd like to see it happen sooner than later.
I would as well. He is Bernie Miklas. Always love being able to talk with him. Bernie, before we get you out of here, can you share with us a little bit about Saliga Heating and Cooling?
Absolutely. I'm proud to represent Saliga Heating and Cooling here on KMOX. It's a Daikin Comfort dealer, and the Saliga family continuously has been taking care of generations of St. Louisans since 1927. I could just stop at that. I mean, seriously, you've been taking care of multiple St. Louis generations. The same family has been taking care of other St. Louisans since 1927, nearly 100 years ago. Enough said. You got to be great at what you do for this to just keep rolling on and on and on. And Dan Saliga is the fourth owner operator of the family business. He's proud of that family name. He's proud of the business. He's proud of the tradition. And he works his tail off and his whole staff does because they want to maintain the highest of standards. And they also want your business. They want to keep your business. They want you to be someone who will always call them. And that's why you get their best every single time out. And we know this because the Miklases have been calling Saliga for 17 years for help in heating and cooling and a couple other things. Utmost integrity, professionalism, knowledge. They know what they're doing. Any type of equipment will do. Business, home, they got it all covered, and you can count on their honesty, and they're not going to hustle you, try to upsell you for something more expensive. In our experiences, I like to tell people, they always go the other way, always. They look for the least expensive solution because, again, why spend money when you don't have to if something that's less expensive will take care of it? This is among the many reasons we love Saliga Heating and Cooling, and also check out their Priority Club. It's a maintenance plan that's going to save you money by extending the life of your current equipment. I'll get out of here just by giving you the website. You can find the phone number there and all the list of services they have. Go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you.
Back at it. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you till 8 o'clock tonight. We still have coming up on the show. We're going to, by the way, we've just had like a whirlwind of a program here through the first 45 minutes. We jumped out of the show with a conversation with Jeff Merrick. Then Bernie Miklas was with us. We haven't really even set up what's coming up on the show. Our friend Danny Wexelman, St. Louisan, part of the team at ESPN and SiriusXM, is going to join us at about 7:20. She'll be our final guest for the night. And then we will hear some of what Jim Montgomery had to say earlier today. We'll play back some of his comments around 7:35 or so. So that's all going to be coming up. Got a few messages coming in on the video stream that I wanted to address. Our good friend Deadly said, my guess is we're about to see 4 straight years of really bad baseball, at least. The DeWitts are going to tell us the team is broke financially, so they have to start moneyballing. I disagree. And you know what? The good thing about conversations like this is we can always come back to it and see who was right and who was wrong. And there are things I get wrong. And I think for those of you who listen to me on an everyday basis, when I do get things wrong, I am more than willing to tell you that I got it wrong. I think that, again, when people are critical of the DeWitts and their willingness to spend money, the question I always ask, and bluntly I have not gotten a good answer back from the people who are critical of the DeWitts, is if this is an ownership group that doesn't want to spend money, if this is an ownership group that just wants to take as much money out of the organization as possible, if this is an ownership group that just wants to go make money off Ballpark Village and nothing else, those are some of the criticisms that are levied in their direction. Why are they spending tons and tons and tons of money on the infrastructure of the organization? If they didn't care about winning, if they didn't care about getting things right, they don't have to spend that money. And again, like going back to the Ballpark Village thing, if all they care about is just being able to be as profitable as possible at the major league level, then what you do is you take that money and you put it towards the major league roster and you stay a little bit more competitive than they've been the last couple years. And then you draw more people to the ballpark that way because the team's better. They're not doing that. They're taking money. They're spending a lot of it, but they're putting it in places where you're not going to see it for a while. And I don't know if people completely understand and can appreciate the amount of money that is being spent by ownership on these behind-the-scenes things. And some of this money is money that's going to extend. If you're adding positions to your organization, if you are hiring people, lots of people, and they hired a lot of people last offseason, and they're going to hire more people this offseason. If you just keep hiring more people, guess what? That's not a one-time expenditure. That's a, we're paying this dude or this lady every 2 weeks for the foreseeable future, and this position for the foreseeable future. And they're bringing in very smart people. When they brought in Rob Serfolio, like in the comparatively compared to a major league salary, no. But overall speaking, I'm sure Rob Serfolio didn't come in cheap. I'm sure Larry Day didn't come in cheap. I'm sure Matt Pierpont, like these guys came into St. Louis to do jobs, and they're really highly respected individuals who I'm sure are paid very well for their jobs. When they're putting millions of dollars into the minor league, or not the minor league, but the spring training facility, again, if you want to tell me that the DeWitts don't want to spend money, and I show you this money that they're spending that doesn't even have a direct connection to what's going on at the major league level, there's not much of an answer to that. So, no, I disagree. I disagree. I think that they are going to, I'm not saying they're going to be really good right away. I'm curious what this offseason is going to look like. This past year, the ceiling was sneaking into the playoffs. Can we all agree on that? The true ceiling of the team this past year was them being a team that could play just well enough to sneak into the playoffs. They came up short of that. They did not reach their ceiling. I don't see a reason why next year's team won't basically have the same ceiling. And that may not be what you want to hear, but it feels like it's going to be very similar to that. But if they're continuing to do work to raise the overall level of the organization, I think once they get these players in place and once they get this minor league system humming along again where you are producing high-end players, you know, we mentioned the other day, difference between the Blue Jays and the Cardinals from position player standpoint. Cardinals' best hitter would be the Blue Jays' fourth best hitter. You need three more hitters that are better than anybody that you have currently on the roster to start to get towards the direction of being the Toronto Blue Jays. That's heavy lifting. That's not even talking about the Dodgers. Dodgers, that's not really an attainable type thing. But even Toronto, you've got a ways to get there. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here in hour number one of the program. Hour number two will feature a conversation with Danny Wexelman. We'll also hear from Blues coach Jim Montgomery. He met with the media earlier today. Programming note for you, tomorrow we have a Thursday night football, so we'll only have a half hour of Sports Open Line tomorrow night. We'll do the full rush hour sports from 5 to 6, and then 6 to 6:30 you'll get me, and 6:30 Westwood One will take over. And you will get coverage of the Vikings and the Chargers. That's an interesting game. Two teams I think are not bad. I think the Vikings are better than that 3-3 record. And yeah, so we'll see how things go. Got another message on the stream that I wanted to address. Carlos sends in a message. Says the winter meetings are coming up. What are the Cardinals looking for? I don't want to see a rebuilding team. I've seen it all after the 1987 season all the way until 1996. We'll talk about this more as we get closer to the winter meetings. We're, what, like 6 weeks away from winter meetings? Yeah, so December 8th is when the winter meetings start down in Orlando. It's going to be interesting. And bluntly, the winter meetings have been boring for the last few years. And there is a good possibility that the winter meetings will be boring again this year. And there's, from a local standpoint, we know that the Cardinals want to move on from players. We know that that group that includes Brendan Donovan and Lars Nootbaar and Nolan Gorman and Alec Burleson and Nolan Arenado, that two or three of those guys are going to get traded this offseason. What we don't know is what the market is going to look like 1 year in front of the CBA expiring. Because I think both teams and players are going to be looking for some different things, knowing the CBA's up in a year. I would guess that teams are going to be looking for more one-year deals when it comes to free agents. I'm guessing free agents are going to be looking for more multi-year deals. And then how does that impact the trade market? I think it will. I hope I'm wrong. I have this feeling of dread that the winter meetings are again kind of going to be a big nothing burger. And I hope that's not true because I like it when I'm there and stuff is happening. I'm just not convinced if it's going to happen that early this year in the offseason. This is KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at as we get into hour number two of the program. We'll jump back into sports here in just a second, but I got to talk to Michael Calhoun because we've been we've had this story the last few hours with the guy who went up the KSDK tower. Michael, it's a really interesting story. Can you explain to me the whole, like, the basket thing and how they got the... I just don't understand.
Yeah, well, there is this... baskets, I guess, the best way to describe it. If you go to Twitter and pull up Maria Kina's feed, you'll see the picture that she posted. It does kind of look like a basket, but, you know, it's how they use those guy wires, and the workers, you know, whether they're changing the light bulb that blinks red at the very top of these, and you know how tall, massively tall, 1,100 square feet these towers are. And in this case, they were painting it because, you know, it's red and white. It's got to be visible, you know, especially for airplanes. So they were repainting this tower. How do you get the equipment and stuff up there? You use this basket. And then when you're up there, you kind of harness yourself and hook yourself to the tower. This guy was just free climbing. The workers had actually called it quits for the day because it was so windy. And this worker, who they're calling him a hero, Steven Garcia, he was in his car pulling away. So says he saw the guy in his rearview mirror, like, bolting toward the tower after they had told him to go away. Tried to chase him up, tried to, you know, get him to come down. It wouldn't work. So that's when they put him in the basket and raised Garcia, the worker, to above the point where this climber was so that he could then, like, just be in his way and say, no, you're done, dude.
Even harnessed in as he was, that has to be harrowing, having a basically a physical confrontation with somebody that, like, that's something out of a movie.
Think about how tall this is. I mean, you're able to see the curvature of the earth. You could see, like, the St. Louis region, like, sprawled out around you. This is, I couldn't go nearly this tall. And they're, like, tussling. They're wrestling in the middle of the tower, which, you know, it's this metal triangular, you know, structure. And they're in the middle of the triangle. And they're like, tussling over getting this guy to stop climbing to the top. It's incredible. And this worker, Steven Garcia, said before the first responders had gotten there, his coworker had already left. But he's like, I got to stop this guy because, A, if he gets too high, it's so much, you know, tougher to get to him. But, B, I'll just say that those transmitters at the top of these towers, that's a lot of electricity that's coursing through there.
Yeah.
And so this guy just said, I'm going to try to get him. And he's a hero.
There's a good chance he saved his life. Like, if nobody is around and that guy starts climbing, he just climbs. I'm no expert on this, but I got to think there's a pretty high probability that that is a deadly maneuver.
This is just something incredible that happened in Afton today.
Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Michael Calhoun. He had that story earlier today and throughout the day on our top of the hour news, which is great. If you've seen any of the TV coverage of it, you've seen the KMOX microphone flag in there, as that's where Maria Kina's been there doing things. So really, there's just a crazy story for that to happen. I could not imagine. Kyle Sixta, could you imagine being that high up in the air, even harnessed in, like, wrestling with somebody?
No, absolutely not. It's terrifying.
Yes, it's 100% terrifying. And yeah, the fact that the guy was driving away and saw it, I mean, if the person who went up started climbing that thing, I guess started climbing 5 minutes later, well, then nobody probably sees him. And the story tomorrow is that a body is found at the bottom of the tower or something like that. I mean, it's just crazy, just craziness. So glad that everybody was able to come out of that safely for sure. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk with our friend Dani Wexelman as she covers Major League Baseball. She is a St. Louisan and covers Major League Baseball for ESPN and some other outlets as well. So we look forward to being able to talk with her. This, I know I've asked other people about the Tony Vitello thing, the former DeSmet and Mizzou, you know, graduates of those two places in Mizzou, played at Mizzou, coached at Mizzou. I'm so intrigued. I am so incredibly intrigued by this because sports in general is a place where you get a lot of copycats. You know, somebody tweaks something, it works,
and then people start to follow along with the tweak. We rarely get anybody really thinking outside of the box and it working. That's why when it works, it becomes a big deal. When Moneyball started with Billy Beane and the A's, well, that changed things in baseball, and it worked. There have been many cases of times where somebody has tried to do something different and it hasn't worked. And bluntly, with as much information and as much data as we have on just about everything, it's hard to think outside the box. It's hard to find something to do differently that is going to work. And it's not the same in terms of the profile of a person you're hiring versus some type of strategy. Like I'm talking about those things almost like they're the same and they're not. So I acknowledge that it's not an argument that's straight on. But this is not something that we have ever seen. A college baseball coach that has absolutely no experience at the professional level of baseball getting the opportunity to manage at the highest level in Major League Baseball with nothing in between. This is not Tony Vitello getting hired to be a minor league manager and eventually working his way up to the big leagues. This is Tony Vitello getting a major league opportunity straight out of college baseball. And I think there's a lot of really smart people in college baseball, like really smart. And I am encouraged by this because maybe this is going to open up a pathway for them. If you are a college baseball coach right now that has aspirations to do things at a higher level, the San Francisco Giants just become your favorite Major League Baseball team. You want the Giants and you want Tony Vitello to have tons and tons and tons of success. And in many ways, this makes sense. Because when the role of a manager is not the same as it was previously. The manager no longer has the biggest and most important voice in the organization. It's not the days of Tony La Russa when what he wanted is what happened. We now live in a world in baseball where the front office and the president of baseball operations are making the biggest decisions. And the managers are there to put forth the mission that they have been assigned by their bosses in the front office. So the job is different now than it was previously. You want managers that relate to people well. You want managers who can lead. You want managers who can communicate well. You want managers who understand the advanced nature of baseball when it comes to data and statistics and things like that. There's a lot of things you want in your man. You want managers who can teach, who can develop, because the cliche is that development doesn't stop in the big leagues, and that's never been more true than it is right now, where more and more players are getting to the big leagues faster than ever. And we can see it, too. And I've heard old-school baseball people talk about this, where it almost feels like more and more players getting to the big leagues are not ready for the big leagues. Yes, that is true. But are some of these players who are not ready for the big leagues also players who can contribute at the big leagues? And I know it seems like those two things should be diametrically opposed. They're not. And yes, that is a true thing. So you can see many reasons why this Vitello thing is going to work. The reasons why it doesn't work is just the lack of familiarity with professional baseball. And if there's a bunch of things saying this is going to work and one thing that says it might not, in all likelihood, it's going to work. But it might not. There's no guarantee. And that's why it's going to be fascinating to watch. We don't know how Vitello is going to communicate and how he's going to relate to 18 to 20. Or he has been with 18 to 22-year-olds to people much older than that. People who make a lot of money, make more money than him. There's nothing that he can really take away from. We don't know what that aspect of it is going to end up looking like. We'll get Dani Wexelman's thoughts on that. She's connected with the amateur baseball world as well, in addition to doing work covering Major League Baseball. So she's a great person to ask about this. She joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Well, one St. Louisan today got quite the promotion, going from being the head coach at University of Tennessee to being the manager of the San Francisco Giants. And another native St. Louisan is probably the perfect person to speak on it. It is our friend Dani Wexelman, part of the team at ESPN, SiriusXM. You follow her on Twitter at Dani Wex, DaniWex. Dani, thanks for the time. How are you?
Matt, I'm great, man. I'm great. What a day for baseball. Like, wow, there is so much happening. The World Series starts in a few days. Tony's going to San Francisco. Like, it's a big day for baseball.
Yeah, and I said that you're probably the perfect person to talk on this because you cover Major League Baseball, but you have been around the college game and the amateur game for a while. I know you've known Tony for quite some time. When you found out that this guy, for people in St. Louis, a DeSmet grad, a Mizzou guy, is making this jump that nobody has ever made before, going from college baseball to a big league manager with no professional experience, what's your initial reaction to it?
I had heard some rumblings a few weeks ago about it. And I texted Tony and I'm like, hey, what's going on with this? And he was mum. He did not give away a single thing, and that's the right thing to do. So I was kind of like, huh, I wonder if this actually has legs. And I'm talking to people around the industry, and there's just some hushed chatter about it. I will say this, before I knew he got the job, I knew he could do the job. I have known Tony for a really long time. Tony was working at Mizzou when I was still a student. And so, like, our paths have crossed forever. And obviously, I cover the college game now. So I've seen Tony for the last 4 years on a lot of different stages. I'll say this, managing at the big league level is really, really hard. You don't have control over who your team picks, right? You can't trade or transfer. You can't use a portal to bring in new guys, right? You have to let your front office do those things. You have to let your front office pick the guys who are going to be part of this team. And I would say that's probably going to be the hardest part for Tony. I think that Tony's really good with people. Tony knows how to connect with every kind of person. When you're on the recruiting trail, which Tony was, right? Like, it wasn't just Josh Elander who should get the head coaching job at Tennessee. Tony was also out on the trail. I would text Tony in the summer and be like, hey, am I going to see you at this event? Am I going to see you at this event? And he's like, I'm on the road. I have to go do this. I have to go do that. Like, Tony busted his butt to make Tennessee the program that it is today. That's why they won a national championship. And so what he can take to the big league level, and why I'm not surprised, is that Buster Posey probably sees the fact that Tony's good with people and Tony works well with a lot of people. And Tony's very fiery. Can Tony be fiery for 162? No, he won't last. Like, nobody would last with that mindset. But there are going to be moments. Like, he's got a young crop of guys coming in. He has some guys from Tennessee who are part of that team. Drew Gilbert played for the Tennessee Volunteers. Tony was his coach then. He'll be his manager now. And so I think the tough parts will be, you know, being able to choose who you want as a part of your program and your team, and not being able to dip into the portal when you need something. But Tony has a lot of really great qualities, and Tony works really hard. So I think those things translate. He knows ball. His roots are deep. As you mentioned, his dad, Greg, who is like one of the most iconic coaches in all of Missouri's in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. Like, Tony is a chip off the old block. He's a blue collar dude, and I think he's going to do a really great job.
Is he somebody who's going to be able to command the room? A room, when Rafael Devers is sitting in that clubhouse, does he command the room for somebody like that?
Well, that's going to be up to Tony to earn the trust, right? Tony's going to have a lot of work this offseason in getting to know his players and making connections with them and explaining to them, like, why he's there and why he wants to be there. I think that from what I saw in the reports, that he was actually supposed to let them know a few days ago. They extended the deadline, and I'm guessing once it all comes out, it's going to be because it's a really tough decision. And I'll tell you this, Matt, they better bring in a really good bench coach, right? His right-hand man, to have a lot of experience, like a ton of experience, like a Freddy Gonzalez, who was just with the Orioles a few years ago. He managed the Braves. Like, there's a lot of good names out there, but he needs a great bench coach because he is going to have to connect and he's going to have to communicate with Rafael Devers, who is a pro's pro and was just brought over from the Red Sox. But that's also like Matt Chapman, who's their third baseman, and Willy Adames, who's their shortstop. Like, they have a lot of guys who are veterans in that clubhouse. And so Tony's going to have to bust his butt, which he will. Like, he will do whatever it takes. That's how relentless he is. And he's got something, I think, like, managers in the league right now who are so good, I wouldn't necessarily say they're so hungry like Tony is going to be. And I think his priorities this offseason will be getting to know his players and explaining to them and introducing himself to them and why he wants to be here.
It's not fair to him, but in many ways, he's going to carry the mantle for college baseball. Every college baseball coach in the country becomes a Giants fan now because if this works in San Francisco, yeah, all of a sudden there is a new pathway to the big leagues for college coaches.
Well, let me tell you this, too. Like, Tony's easy to root for. I think that, like, if you cross paths with Tony, I was texting with a college coach today who's known Tony for a really long time. And his response to me was, this is the easiest decision the Giants will ever make. He's the perfect person to do this. He has a big spark. And this is someone, again, who just has known Tony for his entire career. And that's kind of the sentiment around here. So, yeah, college coaches will be rooting for him and looking at him. But I really hope, because I saw a lot online today, like the narrative of how will he be able to do this? He can't do it. No one's done it. Like, I think we need to shift, not just in baseball, maybe in general, to the idea, I feel like he has a really good shot. If they support him, like, why are we already automatically thinking he's not going to be able to do it? Like, Tony Vitello took Tennessee from the ruins. It was an irrelevant SEC program, and in less than a decade, won a national championship. Like, that's how hard Tony works. And so, like, I think that everyone is rooting for him, but he's also easy to root for.
Are we also at a point right now in baseball where the relationship and the chemistry between the president of baseball operations and the manager is almost more important than you can be a really good manager, but if you're not shoulder to shoulder with your front office, it's not going to work. If Buster Posey feels really comfortable with this decision, I have to think that goes a long way.
I'll tell you this, the decision for Buster Posey to make Tony Vitello their new manager is a giant risk. He's essentially risking his entire career and reputation in the front office on a move like this. This is either going to make him look like an evil genius or it's going to be a really, really rocky, lumpy road ahead. I was just in Toronto covering the American League Championship Series, and we were on the field for the clinch. And we got to talk to the general manager, Ross Atkins. He's the general manager of the Blue Jays. And John Schneider is their manager. John Schneider has been in the organization for like two decades. He was a minor league manager. He was a player. Like, he's a Blue Jay through and through. And Ross Atkins said to us, if me and John Schneider aren't arm in arm, like finishing each other's sentences, this never works. And so I would have to guess that Buster Posey is enamored with Tony Vitello in a way that he loves his processes. He loves the decision-making. He loves how he would sort his lineup. I've learned a little bit more about how managers are interviewed in the last couple of weeks because I've been around so many people. And, you know, sometimes the front office will say, how would you set your lineup? What would you do in this situation? Who would you pinch hit for in this situation? You want to be aligned, but you also, like, personally want to be aligned with those people. And as I said, I think Tony is so easy to like. Like, if you have a conversation with him, he's very charming. He's very smart. He's Midwest, but he's also SEC, and now he's MLB. Like, Tony can be a lot of different things. And the best thing about him is that he's authentic in that. And so, yes, he and Buster must be very aligned in so many ways because, again, this is a giant risk for Buster Posey, a giant risk for the Giants organization. And it's very fitting, right? Go big or go home, it seems to be. And I think it's exciting. Like, Tony is going to invigorate baseball. He's going to be great in his press conferences. He's going to be great with the media. He's going to be great with his players if they give him a chance and don't write him off. Just because no one's ever done it doesn't mean it can't be done. Our sport is a bit old and it's not so malleable, right? And we're becoming more malleable. The sport is changing, and I really hope people welcome him with open arms. I think they really are going to love him. And listen, he's going to fail a lot. Like, he is absolutely going to fail a lot. So did, you know, 15, 16 other big league managers this year who have much more experience than Tony. So let's at least give him a chance.
She is Danny Wexelman. Just before we get you out of here, just one thing on the World Series. I mean, what are you most looking forward to as we see the Blue Jays and the Dodgers match up against each other?
There's so many things to talk about, isn't there?
Yes.
You're like, where should we go? Yeah. What should we do? Yeah, I'm over the moon. Let me just say, I have the incredible opportunity to head to Toronto tomorrow morning. I will be covering games 1, 2, and then 6 and 7 if they happen for MLB Network Radio. We have pre and post game shows for 3 hours live leading up to it. And I was on the ALCS, so I just watched Toronto. I've been with that team for 11 days back and forth to Seattle and back to Toronto. The Blue Jays offense is potent and exciting and thrilling, and they will wow you and your jaw will drop watching 1 through 9 in their lineup. Offensively, they have done more than the Dodgers have done in the postseason, and the Dodgers have played more games than they have. Well, actually, that's a lie. I lied, actually. The Dodgers have played 10. I'm just doing the math in my head. And the Jays have played 11. But still, one more game, and the Jays' offense has been incredibly better than the Dodgers' offense. Their pitching is probably their weakest point if you're going to compare two teams. The Blue Jays also represent an entire country, right? We call it the World Series, and now it really is the World Series. So the Jays get the opportunity to showcase their country and their people and their fans. And I absolutely loved my time in Toronto. I can't believe I get to go back at least for 4 more days. the fact that the Dodgers have a chance to repeat, they are a behemoth. Shohei Ohtani makes this game global, right? So does Roki Sasaki and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Their pitching staff is unbelievable. I think what they've done so far is so rare to see their starters go this deep. It felt too easy. It won't be that easy against Toronto. I think the Dodgers lineup has a ton of fun. They're great for the sport. This matchup is great for our sport. Baseball's in a good spot with these two teams. I know Dave Roberts said that he wants to ruin baseball, and people think the Dodgers are ruining baseball. And listen, there's something to be said about paying for good players. But remember, Freddie Freeman, the Braves didn't want to pay him money, and so he ended up with the Dodgers. Mookie Betts, the Red Sox didn't want to pay him money, and so he ended up with the Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani, there were rumors that he wanted to go to Seattle. This is a guy, they've already made all his money back, and so they haven't had to pay a dime out of their pocket to pay him, right? Anyone would have done that. Any team would have done that. And so while, yes, they have the money and the funds to do it, Tyler Glasnow was with the Rays. They didn't want to pay him. So it's not that they're buying all their players, but they've been really smart. Dave Roberts is a great manager. And I think when you watch the World Series this year, you're going to see something you've never seen before, because Shohei Ohtani exists, and how lucky are we to walk on Earth while he does too. So I'm so excited. Like, I do not underestimate the Jays. I do not think it's going to be a sweep. I think their offense is very, very good. They have some good pitchers. They don't have better pitchers than the Dodgers, but really good pitchers that will surprise you, and I think it's going to be a ton of fun.
She is Dani Wexelman. You see her ESPN, SiriusXM, MLB Network Radio. She's a St. Louisan. She is awesome. Dani, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy Toronto. Enjoy the World Series, and we'll catch up again this offseason.
Thanks, dude. Enjoy it, too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Dani Wexelman joining us here on the program. I mean, I was in Toronto last year when the Cardinals were there. That team was terrible that year, and that place was absolutely rocking. So I'm as much as I wanted to see Seattle beat the Blue Jays, I am happy for the Toronto fans. That's a good group of fans that are going to get the opportunity to see some World Series games there. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery, the Blues coach. He's up next. Comments from his press conference today here on KMOX. Back at on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Last night, the Blues, they did not play especially well. They end up losing in overtime to the Los Angeles Kings. And unfortunately, this has just been a trend we have seen with this team. And it goes back beyond this year, beyond when Jim Montgomery took over as the head coach. Really, over the last few years, even when this team is playing good hockey, when they're on a roll, when they're coming off a really good win against a really good team, if they've got a not-so-great team coming in next, they tend to not play as well. They have a letdown, and that's going to be one of the things. I think we're going to be talking about that a lot here as the expectations for this team has continued to move up. Can they start being more consistent in the type of performance they are putting out, no matter who the opponent is? Because that win against Dallas on Saturday was so good, and then yesterday, just not a very good performance against the Los Angeles Kings. They're going to take on Utah in a game that's going to be coming up tomorrow night over at the Enterprise Center. Blues head coach Jim Montgomery did take some time talking with the media today and reiterated some of what he said after the game yesterday. Let's start with this. Even after watching the film of last night's game, what he saw last night stands. The team simply was not good enough.
Our effort and execution, we didn't look better after what we were watching. A lot of times you lose a game and you think your team was worse than they appeared, and you watch the game back and your team's better than you thought. That wasn't the case.
So coming off a performance like that last night, they really did try to get after it in practice.
We wanted a high-paced practice. We wanted to make sure that we were putting ourselves in tough areas to battle through stuff and win puck battles and have to make plays. And we were also working on our defending, you know, defending hard and trying to create turnovers, and all those drills had that purpose.
Coming off another loss, they are really blending things up once again, to use a Montgomery line, as we saw the forward lines and also the defensive pairings get shifted around. Let's start with the defensive pairings. The way it looked in practice today, you had Tyler Tucker and Justin Falk as the second pairing, and then Cam Fowler and Logan Mailloux were the third pairing. So it looks like Mailloux is going to be back in the lineup coming up tomorrow night, and Montgomery spent some time talking about why he chose to once again change up the defensive pairings.
You know, it's very similar to with the forward lines, we switched it up because we're not generating much. Like, I don't see us breaking a puck out easily as pairs. I don't see us, you know, generating much offensively as pairs. So maybe switching guys up, using guys that haven't played with each other, frees them up creativity-wise, offensively and defensively, makes them a little more assertive.
Not only the defensive pairings getting changed up, we also saw the forward lines getting changed as well. Let's actually start with the fourth line, because of note, Oscar Sundquist was back practicing, and he is eligible to play in tomorrow's game, as the team is still trying to find some consistency. Montgomery said that they have missed Sundquist. They've also missed Alexei Torpchenko. Those two have brought a lot to the team, and they haven't been available to start the season.
Well, I think anytime you're missing two guys who check really hard, that details and habits are really at the top end of our team, it really affects the momentum your team brings. Not just, I thought our fourth line in the first period last night was our best line, you know, so they did their part. But when you add a couple of more players like that, it just, you have more lines that can just roll over and keep the bus rolling.
As mentioned, Sundquist practicing with that fourth line. So the fourth line looked like this. It was Sundquist in the middle with Walker and Bjugstad on the two winger spots. And Montgomery kind of indicates that in all likelihood, we probably will see Sundquist back in the lineup tomorrow.
He looks really close. We'll see how he feels tomorrow after a hard practice like that. And if he's has no issues, he's going to play tomorrow.
A change on the top line as well, although you've heard this one before. Robert Thomas in the middle of Pavel Buchnevich and Jordan Kyrou. It seems like anytime things are not going well, they bring those three guys back together, and then something always ends up happening, and they kind of break up once again. So Montgomery did explain what he's trying to do by bringing those three players back to the top line.
Just their ability to you know, elevate, and when they elevate the three of them together. There was a game last year we did that in Utah, and you know, they scored the game-winning goal, and so you know, probably match them up against Keller's line that's on fire right now, scoring all kinds of points, and they're going to have a job to do for us tomorrow night.
And specifically to Thomas and Kyrou, I found this to be interesting, because when you think about the faces of the organization from a player standpoint, those are the guys. And they do play together sometimes, but as mentioned, they end up going their different ways and being placed on different lines a fair amount of time as well. So that does present the question, do Thomas and Kyrou really have chemistry? Is it good to have them on a line together?
I think they can, yes. But I think consistently they haven't produced at the level you'd like them. And then, you know, I think we have more depth this year that maybe we can sustain that. But a lot of times everyone could load up trying to stop that line the last couple of years. Not last year, but previous to that. But you know, now that we've developed other offensive players like Holloway, and you obviously you have Shen that's always produced, and you have Neighbors, and you have Snuggerud, guys that have produced at this level, now we're a little more dynamic. So maybe this could be something that can survive.
That is Blues head coach Jim Montgomery speaking with the media earlier today. Blues back at tomorrow night. They take on Utah, 7 o'clock puck drop over at the Enterprise Center. We will take a break. We'll come back and we will wrap up the program. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to finish off this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a shortened edition of the program. We've got Thursday night football tomorrow, so we will only be on for about a half hour. So you get your normal rush hour sports with me and Kevin Wheeler, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock tomorrow, and then we will do Sports Open Line 6 to 6:30, leading into coverage of the Vikings and the Chargers. Wanted to mention that this is a weird story, and there's been a lot of attention on Albert Pujols and whether or not he's going to be managing this upcoming season, having a meeting most recently with the San Diego Padres. At one point in time, he was considered the favorite to land the job with the Angels. And of course, he played with the Angels, and he's been working for them on that personal services contract for the good number of years since he's been retired. We got word a few days ago, the reporting was that he was no longer in consideration. There'd been some whispers about what led to that, but we didn't really know much of anything. And I always thought that it was probably just a situation that he looked and said, you know what, there's better opportunities. I'm Albert Pujols. I want to go have success. I'm going to go to the place that gives me the best chance to success. And the track record of the Angels does not give me success. So then yesterday, we found out that Kurt Suzuki had been hired. It came out today. Suzuki got a one-year contract. 1 year. He got a one-year deal. That is almost unheard of in Major League Baseball for a manager to get a one-year contract. And it's all connected to the fact that the baseball operations head with the Angels, Perry Minasian, he's got 1 year left on his contract. So the statement basically today is that the two are tied together. And as Minasian goes, Suzuki goes. So it allows the Angels to potentially move on from Suzuki and Minasian all at the same time at the end of this season. Which, by the way, if Pujols ends up not getting a job and is not managing this upcoming season, man, oh man, is that going to be a story all year long with the Angels, because we're going to be looking at that as, if it doesn't work out for him, Pujols can come in, he can have his own baseball operations head who he's comfortable with, like all that. So that's a sidebar to all of this, and we'll see what happens with Pujols here moving forward. But I do think this, I'm not talking from like an area of expertise here because I don't know all the inner workings going on with the Angels on this. And a few things have been going through my head as I've thought about this situation. My first thought was, well, the reason Pujols wasn't going to take this job is there's no way he would agree to a one-year contract. Well, I stand by that. I still think that's true, that the second part of it, that he wouldn't do that. But I also think it would have been different because all indications were that Pujols was basically dealing with Artie Moreno, the team owner. He did have a meeting reportedly here in St. Louis with Minasian after he had talked with Moreno. But before they got to that point, it sounded like Minasian was almost being bypassed by the owner for the direct negotiation with Albert Pujols. So just based off that, I don't think that Pujols would have, I know that Pujols would not have gotten a one-year contract. Plus, I mean, he had the personal services contract. He was already working for the team for a good number of years anyway. So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. That's the first thing. But I do wonder how uncomfortable Pujols would have been coming in. We don't know his thoughts on Minasian. We don't know if he was okay with a situation where 1 year out, there might be a change. You know, we talk about this. A lot of people think that Oliver Marmol should be extended because it's not great to have a lame duck manager. And generally, I agree with that. I'm not as completely in agreement on that one right now because I think it's just a really good opportunity for Ollie and Heim Bloom to work together for the year and see if it works. If they give Ollie an extension so he's not a lame duck status, that's fine. I'm not going to be against it. I just, of all the situations where you could have a lame duck, I think this lame duck situation actually makes more sense than others because it is still going to be the feeling out process of when Heim Bloom's running the baseball operation, how he works with Ollie, no matter how comfortable they might be with each other just from their interactions leading up to this. But if you're an Albert Pujols and Minasian's got 1 year left on the deal and obviously sitting there with the one-year deal left, there, it doesn't seem like the Angels are jumping at the opportunity to give him any type of extension. So if you're Pujols, you don't know who the baseball operations head is going to be beyond this year. Why would you want to go there when the entire operation could be turned upside down a year from now and a guy could be brought in to be your boss that you're not comfortable with? Whereas Kurt Suzuki, what does he really have to lose? I mean, he's never been a professional coach or manager, major league or minor league. He'd been working as a special assistant in the organization. If it goes poorly this year for him, he can probably find a special assistant job or a minor league coaching job or something like that somewhere else. There's a lot less on the line for a Kurt Suzuki who's just getting an opportunity. But I do think that as we evaluate and assess why Albert Pujols did not become the manager of the Angels, we can very specifically and directly look at the fact that Kurt Suzuki received a one-year contract, something that's almost unheard of. A major league manager getting hired and be given a one-year contract. The motivations for that from the Angels is also part of why I don't think Pujols probably pursued that job, just because There's not a lot of stability. There's very little stability in that baseball operation, a baseball operation that already has not been functioning at an especially high level. That is it for this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Certainly appreciate you being with us tonight. Again, tomorrow I'll be with you 5 to 6 with Kevin Wheeler for Rush Hour Sports. Then 6 to about 6:30, we'll do Sports Open Line leading into Thursday Night Football tomorrow night. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on KMOX.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.